welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage in 2 Corinthians, and it goes like this. The Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church, he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Amplified in verse 5 says, "And as much as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, we lead every thought and purpose away captive to the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." You know, when you think of this passage of Scripture, it's a powerful passage of Scripture regarding the mind and the weapons that we have as believers and how those weapons apply to our mind. When you think of what I just reading right now, verse 5, when it says, "We refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that it sets itself up against the knowledge of God." That action right there is really how everything started back in the garden. You know, when the serpent came into the garden and said, you know, "Has God said, you know, you shall not eat of the fruit?" And Eve, of course, says, "Yeah, we can't eat of it or we'll die." And the first thing that the enemy does is he contradicts God and says, "You will not die." God says, "We will die." The serpent says, "You will not die." That's kind of the first, I think one of the first, examples we see where the enemy comes in with an argument, with a theory. And he goes on to say, you know, well, God just doesn't want your eyes to be opened. He doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to be able to see and know good from evil. He's holding something back from you. So we see that argument, that theory, that reasoning. God says you'll die. I say you won't die, all right? So that's been going on since the garden. And we have it today. We have our own different versions of that today that we deal with, that we have to wrestle against and whatnot. But we see here that the enemy has been at this for a long time. But we also know that we have weapons of our warfare that are powerful through God for pulling down strongholds, for dealing and confronting these arguments and theories and reasonings. Okay, we've been equipped, in other words. Again, not natural weapons, but there are spiritual weapons that can get right at these subtle little places. In fact, when you look at the garden account, the way we get introduced to Satan is that now the serpent was more subtle than all the other creatures. In other words, the enemy is very subtle. He doesn't just come in blaring. He'll come in with those reasonings, theories, and arguments. But this is where we got to realize, recognize, we got weapons for the subtleties of the enemy. Now, this morning, as we're looking at this, and this is, you know, a very classic passage of Scripture when you're dealing with the mind, the battle of the mind, different things like that. And we've been around this territory a lot in a lot of different ways and different contexts and things like that. But what I want to look at this morning very specifically as it relates to this battle of the mind and whatnot, different things, I want to take a look at something very specific regarding this battle of the mind. And I'm simply calling it this. The message today is called Breaking Thought Patterns, okay? In other words, there's stuff we know is right, wrong, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But there's stuff in our life that are like patterns, thought patterns, okay? What's a pattern? A pattern is a design that repeats itself over and over and over again, okay? And that's kind of the way it is when you're dealing with mental thought patterns. It's the same old thing, it just repeats itself over and over and over and over again. It's like a pattern of thought. It's a pattern that you might know is wrong, it's bad, And yet, how do I break this thought pattern? How do I stop this pattern from just playing over and over and over again? That replay, that old, you know, that old narrative, that old whatever it is, hurt, fear, bitterness, whatever it could be, but it's like a pattern that's playing. And this morning, I just want to get very targeted at breaking thought patterns, all right? And we're going to kind of go step by step and how we can do that. Some of these patterns are a result of things you've done through your life. Some of these are generational. You kind of grew up in a home and you picked up on some patterns and you're going down the road. So you got some of those patterns. A lot of different ways that we get these different thought patterns, okay? And this isn't really, you know, about, in this context, determining how we got them. This is really more at this point recognizing them, okay? And that's where we're going here with the first point of the message this morning, is recognizing the patterns, okay? There are patterns. What are those patterns? Again, a design that repeats itself over and over and over again. Now, one of the things that we'll find out about thought patterns that we deal with, that we all deal with, the first thing is this: no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So as we're dealing with thought patterns, these patterns are intimidating, okay? You might be able to do a list of, you know, types of thought and say good thought, bad thought, get them right or wrong on a test, and we can understand in a comprehensive cognitive way what's right and what's wrong and different things like that. But when it comes to a pattern, something, you realize that there's something more going on than just knowing what's right or what's wrong. There's some spiritual forces behind this thing that keeps bringing a pattern of thought over and over and over again. Again, what we started out this whole message is that we have weapons of our warfare that are powerful through God for pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. So as we're going into this message, we're going into this message with an understanding, a revelation, and Father, that's my heart this morning, that we get a revelation of those weapons to see what they are, to see how they work, that we are no longer intimidated by the pattern, Father, but that we see the larger weapon, the greater work of your hand that you've given us and equipped us to deal with and break every thought pattern that's not of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm believing for that revelation this morning, that we're going to see some things. One of the things that we find out first off about any thought pattern is it's common to man. You might be thinking, oh, you don't know my situation, Pastor Ed. I can tell you what. It's different faces, it's different people, it's different names, it's different contexts. But it's not new to the human condition. That thought pattern, that combination of fear, bitterness, hatred, anger, whatever that combination is, it's common. And I don't say that to undermine the painfulness of it, but at the same time, we've got to realize that what we're dealing with is common to the human condition. And here's one of the great promises that we have in the Word of God. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, this seems, when you're dealing with a pattern, a lot of times we look at the Scripture and we think, well, God's not going to put more on me than what I can handle. That's really not what it's saying right there, okay? God's not putting stuff on you in the first place. It says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The way of escape is what gives you the ability to bear it. It's not how strong in the Lord you happen to be at that moment in time. Because this is kind of how we are when we're dealing with patterns. These patterns are intimidating. All right? This is addiction stuff. This is all different kind of, you know, a lot of different psychological things. The pattern is intimidating. How can I stop the pattern? If I was just stronger in the Lord, then I could stop the pattern. And we do want to get strong in the Lord, and this is going to be about getting strong in the Lord as we go down the road here. But you got to realize something off the bat. And God is a God of grace, and he works this way. But he provides a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The way of escape provides your ability to bear things, all right? In other words, I'm looking for the escape. I'm not looking in so much in my own strength. I'm not looking in my own ability, because as we get through this stuff, we're going to learn, we've kind of learned some of this stuff before, but we've had some pitfalls at some areas. But we're going to take a look at We're going to take a look at it here in terms of first things first, recognizing the thought pattern. As I see it, it's common to man. And as I'm going through it for the umpteenth time, I'm realizing there's a way of escape here. That's just one of the two things you got to, in recognizing. It's common, and there is a way of escape. I can stop this broken record. I can stop this continual pattern of thought. There is a way of escape. There is an ability to stop it here. And so as we're looking at this, I just want you to start out with that hope and to just realize there is a way of escape. It's not about what you can bear. It's not about your shoulders. It's about God's way of escape. That's going to be your ability to bear this thing. So recognize that. And now as we're looking at kind of recognizing the patterns of thought, we've kind of look at this this passage in Galatians. These are the works of the flesh. These are the things that the patterns typically are based around. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, murder, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Okay? Now, as you look at this passage of Scripture here, I like to call that middle verse the middle flesh, okay? That verse 20 is sandwiched in between kind of the classic stuff. When you say flesh, you say, yeah, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, murder, drunkenness, revel. Yeah, that's what you think of as flesh, kind of those outer pieces of bread there. But you find sandwiched in the middle of the classic flesh is middle flesh, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions. I mean, you take a word like hatred, that's a big, broad word. Or contentions, that's a big word. Covers a lot of stuff. And a lot of times, that middle stuff there, we don't always look at that as flesh. We see that as our problems. 19 and 21 is flesh, but that 20 stuff is our problems. And a lot of times, we know better when it comes to the 19 and 21 verse stuff, but we'll give a pass to that verse 20 stuff. We'll even spiritualize it and try to find a way to stay there. And this can be where the subtlety, Satan was more subtle, the serpent was more subtle than all the creatures. This is where he can get us with subtlety right here. Because a lot of times, that record that's playing over and over again is going to be around or touch on that middle flesh stuff. In fact, the outer flesh, that classic flesh, many times is just an attempt at relief for that middle flesh stuff. You know, you're dealing with people stuff, you're dealing with problem stuff, you're looking for some kind of an escape, right? All right, we know God has an escape. The enemy has his escapes too. But we're talking about recognizing the patterns of the flesh. When we're talking about recognizing the patterns of the flesh, I really want to look at that verse 20 stuff, okay? Now, if you're dealing with verse 19 and 21 stuff, the classic stuff, this message will work just as well for those things too. But I really want to look at that, some of that verse 20 stuff when you're dealing with hatred, contentions, jealousies, because this is all flesh. The word declares that this is all flesh. Flesh all has something in common. This is all very addictive, all right? In the same way with drunkenness, you're reaching for a bottle. Drunkenness will cause you to reach for a bottle. Hatred will cause you to reach for hatred and contentions and jealousy. A victim complex that's rooted in hatred and contention and jealousy is just as addictive as the adultery and the fornication and all the other stuff. And so this morning, we're going to talk about recognizing that. But you got to, if you're going to break a thought pattern and be serious about it, you got to take thought patterns and put them in the proper classification as flesh. Once you do that, you got weapons to deal with it. As long as we keep it outside of that and justify it, then we don't have the weapons to deal with that because we're kind of in our own world where we're not bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So when we're taking that thought, say, yeah, but this happened, but you see what's happening to you? You see how it's affecting you? Do you see the hatred, the contentions, the jealousy? It's flesh. There's flesh there. There's an honest recognition. If we're going to break thought patterns, and again, you just got to look at the pattern and say, is this pattern flesh? Because I'm telling you what, just as sure as you can smoke some kind of a weed or a drug, you can smoke a victim complex, and you can smoke hatred, and you can smoke outbursts of wrath. You can inhale deeply of that stuff, and it's addictive. When you recognize this, you got weapons to deal with it. When you recognize your big problem is flesh, it's like, oh, it's just flesh. Again, not to marginalize the pain and the hurt and the in the context, but once you realize what it is, because this is all, we've all got stories, and but when you realize and you put it in the category of flesh, I can deal with flesh. Again, this is just recognition, honest recognition of patterns of thought. Now, I'm not telling you what your pattern of thought is. I'm just asking you to let the Holy Spirit show you what your pattern of flesh is. Do we see our... I can look at that and, man, raise my hand high. Yeah, I've been caught. Been on that merry-go-round for years on some stuff because I didn't want to get off that merry-go-round. But I wouldn't admit that I was addicted to that merry-go-round because it's flesh. But if I will admit that it's flesh, I can get off that merry-go-round. Just the way I could with classic flesh, I can do with middle flesh. It works the same way. The weapons of our warfare, they're powerful. It's common to man, and there's a way of escape for any area of the temptation of the flesh. Not just a way of escape for adultery or drunkenness. There's a way of escape for hatred and contentions and jealousies and outbursts of wrath. There's a way of escape for all that stuff. But there's a recognition of the pattern of thought. We're taking our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of the word. Again, I'm not telling you what's what with you. I'm just saying if you want to get free from a thought pattern and you want to break a thought pattern, you just got to have an honest analysis. And even if you don't know, you know, sometimes you have to lift it up to God and say, God, help me. Is there flesh in here? Is there stuff in here? But there's an honest approach with our thought patterns and saying, where does that fit? Where does that belong in the spectrum? Now, as the Apostle Paul was talking to the Colossians, and this is hopefully to help you relax a little bit and realize this is stuff we all deal with, he says to them, to the Colossians, he says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. We're going to see a familiar list here. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Again, that's kind of the classic stuff. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds. So that, again, that kind of goes to that middle flesh stuff. But you'll see what the Apostle Paul is telling the Colossian church here. He doesn't come with some high and mighty, pious thing that says, if you were really a Christian, a real true Christian would never deal with fornication, uncleanness, passion. A real true Christian would never have a problem with anger, wrath, malice. He's not saying that. There's no shame. There's not a finger wagging in this passage of Scripture. He's saying, therefore, put... No, when you see the therefore, you see in the Scripture, when you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. When you look at the first four verses, that's where he says, therefore, since you've been raised with Christ, set your mind on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. You know, don't set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you're going to appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. In other words, if they were already put to death, he wouldn't have to tell them to put them to death. Colossians were dealing with these things. They were Christians. They were believers. They had a love for God, but they were dealing with these things. And the Apostle Paul says, put them to death. All right? This is where the Old Testament is different than the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was an oldness of the letter, thou shalt not. All right? It was behavior-oriented, and nobody could do it. That's why we needed Jesus. In the New Testament, it doesn't say, thou shalt not. It says put to death. Why does it say put to death? Because you have weapons of your warfare that are mighty through God to put to death your members which are on the earth. That's a whole different paradigm. It's not a finger wagging, thou shalt not. It's, hey, since you've been raised with Christ, since you're seated with him, you can now, you have the ability, don't be ashamed that you got this stuff hanging on. You can put this stuff to death. That's a powerful paradigm shift in the way we look at, because we're all still dealing with these things as believers. James puts it this way. He says, in kind of identifying this stuff, he says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom doesn't descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. In other words, James is calling out, again, demonic wisdom. He's saying this is what demonic wisdom looks like. He's saying that wisdom, it doesn't descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. You'll see it's bitter envy, self-seeking. There's an inward self-pity, self that can tear you up on the inside. And James is waving his hand. He's saying, if it's tearing you up, he said, it's not descending from above. He goes on and says, this is what it sounds like when you do get wisdom that does descend from above. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, it's full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. When you're up here, kind of stirred up in a bunch of stuff, and you got that narrative and all that, the thing about that narrative that's tearing you up on the inside, it's full of partiality. You're seeing things from a certain standpoint. There is hypocrisy, there's partiality that you can't see when you're blinded by demonic wisdom. When you get the wisdom that's from above, it's pure, it's clean, and it's peaceful. And you'll see one thing here too, is that it's willing to yield. Demonic wisdom isn't willing to yield. It doesn't want to hear the other side, it doesn't have to hear the other side, because you're right. Wisdom that's from above can hear the other side. It's willing to yield because there's a peaceableness to it. There's a godly characteristic. There's a quality. What am I talking about right now? We're just talking about recognizing the thought patterns. Is the thought pattern peaceable? Is my thought pattern, because God has good thoughts, he can give to us too, but it's going to line up. Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your soul. The enemy is not meek and lowly in heart. He's angry and he's mad and he's right. And herein lies the pattern. The merry-go-round that's very hard to get off. It's hard to get off when you're really hurt and you're really right. There was a place when the disciples experienced that. They were hurt and they were really right and they wanted to call down fire on the Samaritans. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. But we're right, you are the Son of God. They're wrong. You don't know what spirit you're of. You're not getting a revelation from God to call down fire on those guys. You don't know. If you were of the right spirit, it's going to be pure and peaceable and gentle. This is where we can play games with the middle flesh and give ourselves permission to stay here and be mad and da-da-da and a Christian. And I don't do the classic stuff. You know, or you're not going to see me, you know, in the bars, you're not going to see me, you know, sleeping around, you're not going to see me doing that, no, but you can be just as bound here, it's all flesh. This is where it can kind of get religious, and the people that are dealing with the classic stuff see you bound with your middle stuff, and you don't really have the authority and the influence you think you should have. When you're free indeed, though. There's a peaceableness about you. There's a freedom, there's a, yeah, this is the good wisdom, all right? So that's what I'm just saying right now. I just want to kind of call out more from a recognition standpoint, to realize, hey, this is kind of the contrast. The good, the bad, different things like that. And like I said, we can't stay in that place of that angry heart. This is kind of what that middle flesh looks like when it's stirred up, you know? It's mad, it's wrong. And you know, it's not like, it's like, well, they might be, you know, I might be a little wrong, but I'm not wrong enough to where it matters anything. My stuff is little and tiny and insignificant, but their stuff, even if there's a little partiality in it, it's not God. There is no partiality with him. We'll give ourselves a pass. We'll make allowances for our own little rough edges and get over it and you should be fine. But the Spirit of God doesn't do that. His wisdom has no partiality at all. Like Jody was saying, you know, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't do that. He's no respecter of persons. He's consistent. Praise God, he is. So, you recognize the patterns. The other thing, though, is you got to give yourself permission to break patterns. I mean, this might sound like, well, you got to give yourself permission to break thought patterns. Yes, you do. If they're patterns, then you have a relationship with the thought pattern. I know that sounds strange. I'm just talking from experience here. But you have relationships with a thought pattern. You almost know a thought pattern like a person because it just like comes back and comes back and comes back and comes back and back. And this is where it's good to recognize a thought pattern, but you got to also realize that you scripturally, so the scripture helps us identify flesh and to be honest and say, yeah, there's flesh in that narrative. You know, there's some stuff I got to change. There's some I want to be free from that because there's flesh in it. And with his wisdom that's from above, there's no flesh at all. There's no partiality at all. I want to be free from that because that's not God. Okay. Now I got to give myself permission to break that pattern. And this, you know, again, you got to, it's not like, I'm going to break it because I know I should. Well, that's good, but the weapons of your warfare will give you a scriptural basis, will give you scriptural permission to break a thought pattern. And I'll tell you, there's authority in the Word of God. Let's take a look at your permission to be able to change, your permission to be able to break some thought patterns, not just because they're wrong, but because of even bigger reasons. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're just talking about permission to break thought patterns. One of the reasons why you have permission to break a thought pattern, and you know, you think about, like I said, you got a relationship with a thought pattern. Anytime you break a relationship, it's not fun, all right? You're used to something and it's not there and it's going to be strange. But if you know it's right, if you know it's good, if you know you got scriptural grounds, it'll give you faith and give you permission to be able to break those things. Again, Paul is saying, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Now, it's one thing to look at our brother and sister in Christ, to see past their rough edges, and to say, okay, they're a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm going to know them according to the work that God did in their heart. But it's important that we also do that with ourselves. We regard no one according to the flesh. That includes you not regarding yourself according to the flesh. No one. In other words, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That flesh merry-go-round that I get off on, who I am on the inside in Christ, is not on that merry-go-round. That's a flesh merry-go-round. That doesn't satisfy my spirit man at all. You know, the things of the spirit are what ultimately flesh satisfies flesh, spirit satisfies spirit. You know, when you just begin to even, like in, again in worship this morning, when we just kind of got that exhortation, I will see the Lord in the land of the living. I will see that. You hear those things of the Spirit, setting your mind on things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and you get words of the Spirit. You sense a satisfaction of the Spirit that comes from spiritual words. It's like a food for your spirit man. But the flesh stuff can't do that to your spirit man. Patterns of thought that are not right, they never feed the inward man. They never feed the new creation. The new creation, who you are in Christ, there's no hatred in there. There's no jealousy and contention and murder in the inward man, in the new creation. That's why you see Paul describing, put off the old man. Put off the old man. That's not who you are. In other words, that pattern is an old man pattern. It's not a new creation pattern of thought. If I sow to the flesh, yeah, I'm going to sow to the flesh, reap a pattern of corruption. But I sow to the Spirit, I reap a pattern of eternal life of the Spirit of God. So as I'm recognizing thought patterns, I got to realize, hey, I know that's had me for 10, 20, 30 years. I have permission. I don't have to do that because I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. I'm not satisfied. I'm not being true to who I am by staying in that thought pattern. That's the lie you get. You got to be true. You got to stay. If you're going to be true to who you are, if you're going to be true to the new creation, man, you're setting your mind on things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. You have permission to let go of that on the basis of the fact you're a new creation. But here's the other one too. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Amplified said, so then, brethren, we're not debtors to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. New Living, so dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. We're talking about reasons you have permission to break the pattern. Number one, you're by virtue of being a new creation, you can break that pattern because that's not who you are. But here's another powerful reason you have permission to break that pattern of thought of flesh. You're not a debtor to the flesh. You don't owe it anything. I love how New Living says, so you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. We still have those urges. I'm glad Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh to experience those urges. He's the high priest over our temptations. Praise God, he is. But when I'm giving myself permission to not go there anymore, I'm doing it from the weapon of my warfare of the Word of God that declares I'm not a debtor. I didn't just become a new creation. The Bible says I was translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I don't owe that kingdom anything. When my body, it's almost like a phone, you know, the flesh is almost like a debt collector calling you with that urge, saying, you owe me, you owe me. And the scripture says you don't owe the flesh. You have permission to break up with your flesh. Satan is a liar. And that pull of that pattern of the flesh can be strong. But you're not a debtor to that pattern. You don't owe that pattern anything. And again, you're doing this by faith. Your feelings, your soul is so connected to a pattern of thought that to not go there anymore affects your soul. It affects your feelings. It affects, what would life be like without that? Let's find out, okay? There's going to be a step of faith that says, I have permission. I don't have to answer that phone. I don't have to answer that urge. I'm not a debtor to you. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation, and I don't owe that pattern of thought anything. I have permission to not have to go there. I have permission. Again, if you're in the world, you know, the world and the natural man who just deals with natural things, you know, doesn't understand spiritual things, the things of the Spirit are foolishness to the natural man. We're talking about spiritual things. It's because we know these things. This is what makes us so different from the world. Now, let me ask you something. Does the world believe that they're a debtor to their flesh? Yes, they are. You are obligated to explore anything that your nature would lead you to do. You are obligated to explore it, to validate it, and to glorify it. This is what separates us, the kingdom of God, from the kingdom of darkness. We realize, hey, there's a difference here. I'm not a debtor to every pull of my body. Because my body screams something. The Bible says there's a sorrow of the world that leads to death. The world will sympathize with you in these pulls, and the trajectory will be death. But we don't have an obligation to it. We don't. According to the Word of God, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, all right, but not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. He goes on to talk about, by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body. So we see here that we're not debtor. We have permission. It's going to be a breakup, but we have permission to break up. All right, then finally, I just want to just close with this, breaking the patterns. OK, because this is kind of where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. I've recognized something. This thing has my number. It's playing over and over. I know that I need to be free from it. I know that I don't have any obligation to it. I can be free from that, record, however you want to say it, that show, that whatever. Again, we're starting out by putting it in the category of flesh. In other words, that narrative, I'm looking at that thing, I'm not going to drink. When I'm looking at that narrative or that thing that's pulling me, you're basically saying, I'm not going to drink that anymore. I'm not going to smoke that anymore. I'm not going to watch that anymore. It's flesh. I recognize it. I have permission to break up with that thing. And this is specifically where we want to look at in terms of, we'll just call this the breakup, okay? Romans 8 says this, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Again, this is not about thou shalt not, don't do that. It's about put that to death. Very different paradigm. All right? It's not about my willpower to not do that. Galatians says, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So right here is where we get power to put that pull to death. In other words, that's the objective here. It's not just a self-discipline to not do that anymore. If you could just, you know, if self-discipline made you free from the law of sin and death, you wouldn't need the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You need the law of this. This is not mind over matter. This is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus over the law of sin and death. I'm engaging the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's how I break those patterns. That's part of the weapons of my warfare. It's the law of the Spirit of life over the law of sin and death. If you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. In other words, there's different ways by the Spirit that pull can lose its pull, in other words. And so here's just a couple ways I want to look at this morning. Colossians 3:5 says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Amplified, so kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses that all that is earthly and all that is earthly in you that is employed by sin. Okay, this is all of us dealing with this stuff. We've got those things. So the goal, again, it's not to not do that anymore. It's to put that to death. It's to break that pattern of thought, to pull down that stronghold. There's an intentionality about it that you're dealing with it in a way. All right? And so as we're looking at that, how are some of the ways that we can do that? Ephesians 6:12 says, for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities, the unseen world, against some of those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, against wicked spirits in the heavenly places. James says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5:8 through 9. These are some authority scriptures. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. A lot of times people get over here in these narratives and they think, is this just flesh? Or is it the devil? Or the world influences? The answer is yes. And we don't have to obsess over exactly all the time where that is coming from. You got to realize that the flesh and the devil are a 1-2 punch. The devil plays on your flesh, all right? When there's weakness there, Satan plays on that weakness of the flesh. And there's going to be some multiple things that happen when you break a thought pattern. There's a breaking of the spiritual force behind that thought pattern, but there's also the starving the appetite of that thought pattern too. Because that's his 1-2 punch. He knows the flesh has an appetite, and he's got spiritual powers and principalities to put those suggestions. Like he came to Eve, all right? Eve didn't have fallen flesh. All he had to be able to work with was a suggestion in her mind. That's how he got her to fall. And you know what? You could be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and just have a little suggestion in your mind and get you down a wrong trajectory and get you back in the flesh again, all right? But he understands that he's going to try to get you through that gateway of the flesh, through the power of the mind. So as you're talking about breaking that stronghold, this is where, and look at James 4:7, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When I'm dealing with that, first things first, I'm submitting to God. I'm coming before God. And I'm saying, Father, here is that thought pattern. You see that old narrative, that old record. I declare in Jesus' name, I am not a debtor to that thing. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I know there's powers and principalities warring against the law of my mind, trying to bring me into subjection to that, to try to stir that up again in me. But I recognize it. And as a child of God, I resist that in Jesus' name. I break the influences of those powers and those principalities off my mind in Jesus' name. Amen. That's resisting steadfast in the faith, okay? That's a prayer that you pray of resistance. But I'm going to tell you something too. As you're getting free from stuff, mental healing and restoration can be a lot like physical healing and restoration. There are times when somebody may lay hands on you for physical healing and pray the prayer of faith, and in Jesus' name, all symptoms are gone and everything's good, and you're just like, great. Yes, that can happen sometimes where every power principality is gone. It's like you can hear the birds singing, the sun shining, and it's like, wow, it's instant clarity and focus and purpose. Praise God. There's instant healings. There's instant restorations. But there's also those times when people lay hands on you. And I'll say in my life, this is the most common, where they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They'll get incrementally better and better and better and better, all right? And a lot of times, that's the way I'll experience healing in that way. When we're talking about this stuff on the mental side as well, too, you're going to pray that prayer of faith, and that's part of it, but there's also a recovery that's involved in that as well, too. And this is where you're going to be doing some other things along, not just taking your authority, but let's take a look at Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, by the brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. So when it comes to breaking these thought patterns, there is going to be that declaration of faith in Jesus' name. There is going to be that determination, that decision. No, I don't have to go there anymore. I have no obligation to do that, where I'm going to be taking that spiritual authority. But there's going to also be some other things that we do in the meantime too. By the Spirit, I put to death the deeds of the body. The Bible says in Romans 8, says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In other words, I'm going to be setting my mind on things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. I'm going to say this. Here's something that I've done too. Sometimes, see, the Bible doesn't just say we resist the devil, but the scripture also says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. There have been times when I'm dealing with a narrative that maybe you struggle, and I know my authority, I know what's right, I know what's wrong, and you know that the enemy, you know, isn't going to just leave you alone. He's going to battle. And I'm going to take one look at this. Ephesians 6:12, for we're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Because a lot of times that's what happens. I don't want that. I'm not going to go there anymore, but you're going to hear that ringing, okay? And you're going to think, oh, if I would have really chosen to not have that thought pattern, if I really chose to break it and I really resisted, then I should be just fine, right? I shouldn't have any more problems. But yes, we're still tempted. The enemy still comes around. And when I say, nope, I'm not going to do that. I resist it in Jesus' name. I'm keeping my mind on things above. And you can kind of feel this back and forth. And you're kind of thinking, man, what am I doing? Is this real? Am I whacked out on religion? Or what's going on here? Am I really getting free? You're wrestling against powers and principalities. There's a real active wrestling that we experience when we break those things. Those things are broken in Jesus' name, but they try to come back. Your flesh will try to negotiate with you, in case you haven't noticed that sometimes. Here's something that I've done that has helped me. Breaking thought patterns. In the same way you will fast food for a certain number of days, you fast thought patterns. I'm okay. 30 days, I'm not going there. But this and this, I know, good arguments, but I'm fasting. I'm not going to go there. What are you doing? In a very sneaky way, you're starving the appetites of your flesh. And what do you do at the end of those 30 days? You pray, say, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? You may extend your fast. But here's what's going on. The way we put to death the deeds of the body is you are going to starve those appetites. And the way we get through the starvation process is by feeding our spirit, feeding on the Word of God. You can feed on the Word of God. I remember hearing an example of this where a preacher, you know, he was just the newspaper. He was just always so caught up in the newspaper. He said he just felt impressed. You know what? In this place where I've been reading my newspaper all this time of the day, he said, I'm just going to read my Bible for 30 days. He said that. He said, I began reading my Bible just for just 30 days. That was it. He said, I got to the end of that 30 days and just say, man, he said, the things that I was getting in the Bible were moving me and were shaking me up. You know, he said, when you begin to read, he put it this way, he said, when you begin to read the Bible the way you've been reading your newspaper, then the things that the Bible says will shake you up and the newspaper won't, all right? But what he said, when he went back to that 30 days, he said he never went back to the newspaper. In other words, you're starving. These are appetites, and you can consciously starve an appetite and say, nope, I am not going there. In all our ways, we acknowledge him. I am fasting that. Lord, you show me what to do at the end of those 30 days. Because here's what happens. Your flesh, again, is addictive. These are addictions. When you don't feed that, it loses its power. It loses its ability. I remember fasting junk food for a year. And at the end of the year, chocolate didn't even taste good to me anymore. I know. I got over it, and I'm back on chocolate again. But I realized how much of my desire for chocolate was mental. Because the texture and the flavor, it was like I had to fill in the gaps of how good it really was. There's a mental thing. We do more than we realize sometimes with appetites. And I just want you to know, when we're talking about breaking thought patterns, we're talking about starving appetites of the flesh. And you can. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But there are things that you can do, because this is what I'll do if I'm fasting. I'll just say, Lord, I'm fasting that there may be good in there, there may be bad in there. If there's anything good you want me to show me, then your wisdom from above. I know what that sounds like. It's going to be pure and peaceable and gentle. But I am not even going there. In Jesus' name, I'm fasting that, and I'll come back in 30 days, and then you can tell me what to do about it next. You don't even engage it. Nope, I'm fasting it just like I'd fast food. And you know the way a fast is? If you go on a multi-day fast, the hardest part of a fast is that first day, because you're so bound. But as you continue to fast, you actually that pull gets less and less. You know, it's almost like, too, if you can think of that pattern, if you got a magnet on your back and that's a, you know, a piece of metal, it's like hard at first when you're getting going, but as you just begin to, nope, I'm going this direction, you know, I've already decided, that pull will get less and less and less. What is happening? You're putting to death the deeds of the body. I just want you to understand in this stuff, there's a spiritual side where we resist, we take authority in Jesus' name, but there's also a process side where we're walking in the Spirit, where we're putting things on the shelf, not going to go there. I'm not trying to figure it out. For 30 days, I'm not even going to go there. You can do things. You can break up with your flesh. You can break up. You can put things and say, nope, that's it. I've recognized the thought pattern is not God. So I don't have to go there. I've lost my moral obligation. So recognizing the thought patterns, being honest. If there's a pattern of thought that's really distracting you from God, just be honest. Is there flesh in here? Okay. Do I have permission to break that? Yes, that you do. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and you have no moral obligation to what the Scripture calls flesh. And then finally, we break those patterns. We break them steadfast by taking our authority in Jesus' name, submitting ourselves to God, and resisting the enemy, because what the enemy does with thought patterns, they're very much born and raised in isolation. And what God does, we submit to God, we bring God on the scene, we take authority over those things, and then we just begin to walk in the Spirit, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. And that's how we begin the process of breaking those specific thought patterns. So Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. I just pray, Heavenly Father, that your precious Holy Spirit, the second sermon this morning, would just minister how this fits each person here, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to be honest with what those thought patterns are and to deal with them accordingly. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, help me to be honest, to recognize thought patterns that may have flesh in them, to not give a pass to them, but bring them into obedience to what the Word of God calls flesh. I purpose in my heart that I have no obligation to my flesh, and I purpose in my heart to break those thought patterns. by the power of your name, by the power of your spirit. I thank you, Father. My freedom comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I walk in your spirit. And your spirit breaks that thought pattern. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.